Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust. Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
Blue. Cool and drinkers! We are back, baby. We are back. Because it is football. This is the one of the 12 times here. Football is back, baby, because training camp starts this week.
Yeah.
The Detroit Lions. Yeah. They start a little earlier than some other teams because they're playing in the Hall of Fame game this year. But we're going to get into everything about training camp, the battles, what we're looking for in training camp before, obviously, it starts and then we start reacting to everything going on. But before we get into all that, let's introduce the Blue Cooley crew that is here. I am Big Z. Let's get to the rest. We got Red Dog.
Yo.
UJ.
Hello, Lions fans. You can smell in the air, boys.
And Bob.
Hello, everybody.
Grazie.
Grazie.
Yeah.
Va bene.
My return from Italy.
So how was your recruiting trip to Italy? You find anybody out there?
It was great. I was looking at some athletes, but then the pasta kept luring me away, so I just gained a bunch of weight and didn't recruit anybody. So dang. I tried.
Oh well, nice try.
Sounds like a successful trip.
Love it. You any good pasta?
Yeah, that's some great pasta.
All right, that's what I like to hear. All right,
you recorded some LBs actually. Now that
we're actually not here to talk about training camp. We're here to talk about Jared Goff's. Child, that's all we're here to talk about today. No, Ken, that's for the Lady Lions podcast.
Yeah, they could do that.
Born today, but congrats, Goff family.
Well, what was his name?
Congratulations.
It was an interesting.
I think
name.
It's a girl, isn't it?
Yeah, girl.
What was it, girl? I don't know. Romy.
Geraldine.
Romy. Baby.
Romy.
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 Romy Goff.
Oh my God, Romy.
And that's a girl.
Goff wanted to call her Rory, but his wife wouldn't go for it. Okay, Romy. As close as they could get.
They met in the middle,
He's gonna have her row him around in a paddle boat when they're old. When he's older, and he'll just say Romy.
On that note, we done already.
Romy.
That's it, folks.
Well, I guess the other news before we dive into training camp is somebody that Well, he hasn't signed yet. The Lions' second round draft pick, offensive lineman.
Is interesting. Mm.
But this is not just him; it's affecting almost every other team in the NFL.
All the teams are trying to do new strategies of like contract settlements in the second round, and it's like causing a chain reaction.
Yeah. Right. Well, the wide receiver of the Texans got a fully guaranteed second round contract, and because of that, it's affecting everybody else's negotiations because they also want fully guaranteed contracts.
Always takes one guy to mess it up for everybody.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Well, but it's like how Deshaun Watson
weird
really
happening with Shamar Stewart too.
We had Shamar Stewart, the first round draft pick on the Bengals. That's a little different because he's a first rounder.
There's weird things that happen contract wise.
Yeah, and that one's a little. Like more unknown of what exactly is going on there. He's the only first rounder not signed, and he's like actually practicing with his college team right now, which I didn't know he could do after getting drafted.
Yeah,
if it's what I heard, then it sounds like it's an early symptom of NIL times where they tried to like negotiate his contract down or something, and he's just like, okay, I'll go play college ball again and get more money probably on an NIL deal.
Yeah, or at the very least, like equal amounts, and then get drafted higher next year.
You're right, though. NIL deals are like equal to NFL money these days. Some of those.
Yeah, but they got to be.
Yeah, some cases are more. They're more than NFL. Yeah.
There's got to be some protections against guys doing that, though. I mean, after this,
it's wild.
They're going to not want that to ever happen again. So there's something's going to happen different.
Well, the league gets richer and richer every year, so these players are probably starting to go like, wait a minute.
That's true.
Let's control this thing.
You're not wrong about
agents
that.
Agents probably are.
Right. And I mean, the NFL just settled a case with like they're trying to limit the amount of guaranteed contracts after the Deshaun Watson deal. Then they lost. So just a lot of interesting stuff with the contracts going on in the NFL right now that we don't really have the insights into, unfortunately.
Wasn't Kirk Cousins the first to do it, really, to get a fully guaranteed contract? When he with the Cousins, Vikings, he did like 80 million.
One of the more notable ones for sure.
Yeah,
it was one of the early big ones. Like, I think it was the biggest one of that size at the time
to be fully guaranteed.
Like miles.
Yeah.
With the Vikings, I believe the Vikings did it.
And then Deshaun Watson one.
But Deshaun Watson, you know what they should do with that guy? I know it's not a Cleveland pop, but he should just like sweep the locker rooms and all that stuff. You know, just keep him off.
They're
the
trying.
Field,
they're trying their best to have him.
They have to pay him.
Be his profession going forward. So.
Yeah.
I mean, what penalty is there for cutting him loose now? I mean, even like if it's a lot of money, it's like he's already a sinkhole for money. I don't know why you even keep him around.
We're getting off track. We're getting off track here.
Hey, anyway,
wait. Bringing it back to Rutledge before you get off Rutledge.
Yeah, I want to talk.
They'll get him signed eventually, so I'm not too worried about that. But but you see he went fishing and caught a shark?
No,
I did see that. It was a good one,
too. It's pretty badass.
It was like a 6 foot.
So this guy, once they sign him, if he plays like near a Pro Bowl level, he's going to be loved in this town, man. He's going to own this town.
Oh, yeah.
He's such a badass.
And that's what him and, you know.
Do you think he'll hold out at all, though, Bob?
I don't think so. I think they'll get it done. I mean, maybe, I don't know. It'll
be
quick.
Think there's a problem if he starts missing the like camp?
I would personally, I don't think he will, but I think they'll figure it out one way or another.
I agree. I think they need to this year. They can't afford to have him sitting out camp. They can't afford it.
Because these players that hold out, I feel like it's like 99.9% of time nowadays, it's just the agent advising them on their best route, and they just give them a general directive like, you know, I'm not going to miss camp or what they're willing to sacrifice. And they just let their agents try to make them the most money possible in negotiation. Yeah. So I was like, I don't think he's the kind of guy who's going to hold out through practices. It drives
the first
crazy.
Rounds. Those are pretty much like pre-negotiated numbers, but it's like details that they can negotiate on.
Right.
I mean, the money is pretty much that, right? I mean, we're
pretty much.
But then how did that work with that guarantee? Is it the,
That's the kind of detail I'm talking about, like having how much guaranteed money or like, you know, like that kind of stuff.
Isn't there like
the total money
too?
Yeah, there is a cap on that. So
they just said they just gave him the whole contract guaranteed instead of negotiating at all, basically. And now it's messing with everybody.
Yeah, it's called setting a precedent. Now, once you do that, you know, then everyone wants to do it. And you just created a kerfuffle, if you will. I wanted to use that word today.
It's bullshit.
It'll probably be a chain reaction as they settle.
But anyway.
Right, for
here
sure.
Soon.
These are all going to happen really fast at some point soon. I think so. I don't know what point.
Camp's on around the bend. It's not going to. That's going to put some real pressure on these players to put pressure on them because these guys need to make good first impressions and they need to show up at camp and put on a show for their coaches that they're ready to be NFL players. Like,
right. Well, let's get into the camp, boys.
All right.
Let's get into it. So, I mean, the rookies, we're recording this on July 15th at 8 o'clock Central, or 8:30 Central, and the rookies are probably there. They're on their way into Allen Park for because they're reporting July 16th, and then July 19th is everyone else, the veterans. So we're right around the corner here. It's a week earlier than the rest of the NFL because the Lions are playing in that Hall of Fame game against the Chargers on July 31st. So 2 weeks before we get a little bit of NFL action, a little taste. UJ will be rooting for them to lose in that game, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure. They just got to lose one. That's all. Just one.
Oh, so you want to lose the Hall of Fame game?
I don't care. Who
it's like one of the 20 to 30 times.
The Hall of Fame game is exciting only because it's the first sign of football for the year. The game's usually horrible. So, like, who cares? No one cares.
Here's who, I'll tell you who cares. Dan Campbell cares, and I bet you he's going to have these players that care, and like maybe not exactly about the outcome.
I don't think he cares.
If he truly cared, he would probably start the starters.
He wants to win. No, I mean, like, he doesn't. He cares about everything about it. Like, the outcome is not high on the priority.
I'm talking about as a fan.
He cares that he's
going to
have these players. I'm just saying that he's going to have his players caring, and I want to see them show up and represent the Honolulu Blue and Silver.
Well, yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
anybody, I think our second teamers,
of course, they're gonna care.
That.
They're playing for jobs, man. Jobs. Yeah, absolutely, they care.
So I'm not gonna root against them like you.
I'm just rooting against them for one game.
All right, I'm with you, UJ.
Thank you.
You're rooting against us too.
Rooting against them to root for them.
Well, not for a real game. I would never.
No, never. I would never. I just, the 0-16 still hurts me. I still have painful memories.
Let it go, UJ.
Season.
Yeah. 15-2 is the norm now.
Sorry, I do.
It's in the past.
So even before a training camp battle, I more wanted to get into just a little bit about the expectations for the coaching staff changes that have occurred this offseason. I think that's what I'm going to be really interested in here right at the get-go. Obviously, John Morton, the offensive coordinator, taking over for the trader, Ben Johnson.
Benedict Johnson.
Yeah.
John Morton, I guess, what are you looking for here in like the first couple weeks of training camp? Like what do you want to hear basically, that everything, because it might not be everything's
nothing
on point yet or anything like that. Are you looking for like a personality thing? What do you want to, I guess, hear? Like a change in the offense? You want to hear that things are the same? I'm curious.
Well, I'll just jump in quick, top of my head. I would say that I just want to see that they're all like playing hard and like everybody's enthusiastic.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to read about some splash plays like early, like really athletic moves. So
yeah,
that's what I'm excited about. I don't think they're going to be like, people are going to be like, we're going to keep it all the same. They're obviously going to evolve the thing, but keep a lot of it.
Yeah. I think,
and they're already talking about Jahmyr Gibbs going as a wideout a lot more. So that they're already practicing.
That's
like that,
interesting
so.
Too. Yeah.
Oh man, I'm excited.
But I'll tell you what.
That.
So they're. Oh yeah, brother. I'm sorry. Finish.
No. Go ahead. I was just going to say there could be some new wrinkles, which will be fun. But I think they'll keep a lot of the base things. That they
I don't think it'll be that much different either. There is one thing I'd like to see different. Like, seemed last year, they had a dead set in their mind that their starting running back was named David Montgomery. So every time the first series, they tried him out there. No matter what happens, they run him in up the middle, 2 yards, 1 yard, punt. Didn't matter. It didn't even toward the, even after his injury when he came back, we're just going to do that same thing. I think they got to mix that up a little more. Not just, there's no set starter. Start out with Gibbs. Start out with him. I like the idea of moving.
There is a set starter.
I like the idea of moving Gibbs outside, like you said. Have all those guys on the field. There's so many options they can do. I don't think the offense is going to change drastically. And besides, I think Jared Goff owns this offense. It's his offense. So Morton's going to be working with him, and I think they'll be fine. I really do.
Each other.
So I'm not that worried, to be honest with you.
I'll be interested to hear about the communication between him and Morton, because that was a big thing with Ben Johnson and Goff. They were very good about communicating with each other.
Yes.
Ben Johnson drawing up plays that made Goff feel comfortable, basically, in the pocket. Little things like that. I'm curious how that relationship is between Goff and Morton.
That'll
I'm sure
come out
it'll be
camp.
Good to start.
I would think that when Campbell hired him, that they had conversations about that, about what was working with Goff and, coaching him. And,
definitely.
And
I mean, he was here already, so he knows this team.
True.
He knows how we roll. Like, I don't think there's going to be a lot of that, there's a lot of understanding already present, including their past relationship, which they've worked together. So, I mean, I only honestly see that. I'd be surprised if that's a camp story. That sounds more like a seasonal story where we see that the results are just killer, I mean, because they're banging their communication. Yeah, but I mean, maybe it'll be.
I've mentioned several times the, like, how similar our offense or the influence of our offense is, like, around, like, the Sean Payton type offense in New Orleans and now Denver. And Morton comes from that as well. So I do see a lot of similarities here going forward. I will be curious, like, how often does he dial up the trick play and things of that nature, like Ben Johnson like to do. Obviously, in the playoffs, it was to our detriment to some degree.
I got an answer for what I would care. I think the O-line and how he's rolling out lineups will be the thing I will be most interested in that regard.
But here's the thing, too. Like, you know, Ben Johnson got so much credit, but Campbell's DNA is all over this offense. Okay. Like, he's right. You know, he's got a say in this. Even when Ben Johnson came up, remember when Campbell took over the play calling, how drastically better it got. I mean, and then he brings, Ben Johnson in and works him into the fray, turns the wheel over to him. And then, and I'm telling you, so it's not going to matter that much because this is still Campbell's team. So
Campbell and Goff, it's like Brady and Belichick, baby. They're gonna
One thing about John Morton, I haven't heard his I haven't heard his total philosophy on offense or whatever. You know, I haven't heard a long thing about it. But for the way he's talking about the players, I think he's gonna really try to unlock the deep ball this year to J-Mo.
Oh yeah,
and also like long plays to Gibbs. You know, he seems excited about the pieces that he has to work with, like the splashy pieces. So we'll see a lot of, ground and pound football, but there's going to be some razzle dazzle in there too.
I agree, Bob. And you know,
razzle dazzle.
I think he's going to be able to do it in certain like more conventional ways than Ben Johnson was very like highfalutin, like super like out there, like design. He got a little too cutesy sometimes, I think was one of my issues with him. Like, not that I had many, but like,
if you're watching our YouTube at DTBK _ Lions or Drink the Blue Kool-Aid, we're trying to distract Red Dog here a little bit.
Yeah. And obviously it's working.
Well, yeah, just more ignoring me, so it's all good. Your turn.
Never.
All right. All right. Okay. So anyway, go on. What's your next point here?
Finish your point. Finish your point, Red Dog.
No, you go ahead, Z. Take it up. The next point.
But yeah, yes. Morton, yeah. I don't really know much about him yet still. But he's only called offensive plays one time in the NFL. For one season. It wasn't uber successful, to be honest. With the Jets
team, right?
Yeah,
but
a bad Jets offense.
That's a different situation. Obviously, it's been a while. He's had plenty of time to,
I think that experience will be in his favor. Whereas Ben was just kind of like the new flavor a bit. I mean, he was progressive. He got really creative. So
I don't have much bad to say about Ben Johnson's play calling, but toward the end, I think he got a little full of himself and a little too fancy it a couple times. I think we've talked about that before, but. Maybe this guy will have his head on a little straighter in those situations, like on the goal line when we should be running instead of an open, empty backfield.
Commanders game.
You know what's so funny about that play, too, is like the Lions were like bottom two in the NFL and like empty shotgun spread formation. And then they run one of the more critical points of the game.
Yeah. Like, that's why a couple times I think Ben Johnson got a little full of himself, Yeah. Just a couple, a lot. I don't want to.
It'd be different if you were weren't gaining yards on the ground, but they're getting 6.5 yards a carry in that game.
Gibbs was absolutely.
It's not like I've watched
feasting.
It 5 or 6 times and get yelled at for watching it and depressing myself. But
so,
anyways.
So we're all in agreement, kind of. We're not too worried about the OC here.
Plus, you got J-Mo who can you just can't catch him, so he's going to get open deep. And then Amon-Ra is just ridiculous.
I still remember
that. You know
what,
guys? Quick prediction about Amon-Ra this year. I think last year I was watching his highlights, and he was really a facilitator because he was like the focal point, and he was opening people up for those hooks and ladders and stuff. But I think J-Mo's ascension is gonna give him a lot more opportunity this year because they're just not gonna be able to commit all the manpower to him that he was getting last year. I think people took their chances with J-Mo a little more last year, but this year. He's going to demand full, full attention. So look for Amon-Ra to have a big statistical season. Hmm. He's just too damn good, and I think he's going to get a little less attention.
Does J-Mo get suspended this year, yes or no?
No.
No.
I'm going to say I hope to God not. I want to see him play the full season.
I hope not.
You know, he's in the right situation. The way this team is and their culture, like, he was a little just a child when he came into this team. I mean, he was so immature, but he's matured so much. We're right in front of our eyes. I mean, he's still goofy and stuff, but it's different, though.
It's essentially a contract year for J-Mo. It technically isn't because he has a fifth-year option, so he has next year, but and he's looking to get extended, basically. So.
UJ, talking about him maturing, also as a player, remember how the first year he came in as a rookie, and he's catching the ball off his chest? You know?
Yes.
And then now, last year, he's got some hands.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. He made some really sick catches, and he's been I don't know, he probably did drop a couple, but he had really good hands last year.
You're right. Not only the hands, but the fearlessness to go over the middle and take a hit while he's catching the ball. He did
Texans
that a couple
game,
times,
was it?
Too.
Where he caught it up here and got nailed. He had his hands all the way up above his head and just over the middle.
He's a baller.
So now he's got everything unlocked now. So it's going to happen this year.
I wouldn't mind being the primary receiver in this offense over a month.
I also think his creativity as a runner. Remember that play against the Bears where he cut against the field to get like an extra like 40 yards last year?
I
think
he's numerous times that happened.
He's so damn. Oh man, I think he's gonna be
a couple like the reverse in the playoffs. That was like video game like stuff.
Oh yeah, the speed is ridiculous.
He's unreal.
Between him and Gibbs, good lord, we just have such a
top tier, top receiving duo in the league.
Yeah.
Well, the bigger question is the offensive line. I think that's one of the biggest training camp battles we're looking forward to here. Who's going to win the center position? Who are they looking at the center position, to be honest? Obviously, Will Ratledge get signed in time? Will he be a part of that? I know we touched on it briefly in past podcasts, but now it's coming up here. But Glasgow seems to be like he'll probably start first team, but it'll be interesting to see if, like, Tristan Colon, who they signed in the offseason, Iguakun, who they had on a practice squad last year.
Miles Frazier.
Maybe Ratledge even could take some snaps there and win it. Who knows?
You're a betting man.
You have a
shit
ton of talent
right
now.
And you are a betting man. If you are a betting man, and you are, who's going to be our starting center?
Game one.
There we go.
I am. Actually,
it's 100-1.
I would say Glasgow would be like -250. It'd be
that's an answer to the question.
My number there, which is like a pretty solid favorite, but not necessarily like a.
Is that
like
your choice?
Slam dunk. I would say this Tristan Colon guy would have the second best chance at starting at center. I think they really want Ratledge at guard. That's where he excelled in college.
What about Miles Frazier?
No, not for. I think they're gonna want to build him up a little bit. That's my guess. Unless maybe he blows it out of the water. I hope I'm wrong.
Both these guys remind me in a way of like Larry Warford coming out, just like stellar college careers, near perfect like pass pro numbers, just great size and weight. I think both of them are both very much in the hunt for one of the starting spots that are open. Frazier looks really good to me. I mean, I know there's some tough vets in Glasgow, but I don't know. These guys got a little more upside than Glasgow at this point in his career. I hope he wins the spot, but I don't know. These young guys are coming, man. And you still got Colby.
Yeah.
You got a ton of talent. Manu, he might throw his hat in at guard. Like, there's so much just talent in this offensive line room. It's going to be such a fascinating story to see how it unfolds.
You are right, I'm gonna go ahead.
Manu, I'm really excited to see what progress he's made in the last year, basically, and how he shapes up. Because the Lions' defensive line's got a lot of bodies to throw out during practice to make some good reps out there. So
I don't see him moving that guard though.
Good. Let me just finish up on Ratledge that you mentioned, UJ. Or you were talking about who's going to be center.
Yeah.
Everyone seems to think Glasgow, that seems to be the default. Like, they're going to just use him until they get somebody. But I think they knew that we were going to need a center when they did that draft, and they were thinking of Tate Ratledge as possibly being that badass in the middle.
Good point.
So I think I know you think they want to keep him at guard, because that would be smart too, but I think they're thinking about moving him to center. And I think that we might see that this year, at least a tryout there.
And Bob, I am with you 100%. I think that's exactly what they want. And I'm putting my money on Ratledge starting.
Yeah.
Oh.
All right.
That's where my money. I like with it. You because Bob, your point really brought it home there for me. Because like I think he's got the athletic profile and stuff. And obviously they need to replace Rags, and they want someone young and ready to build up and stuff. But that is a really good point that they probably had that in mind during the draft, knowing Rags was on his way out.
Yeah.
I'm going with Tate.
I'm going to.
All right.
You know, it's interesting. If you
guys in the minority.
If you guys are watching that show, Quarterbacks, they kind of touched on that a little bit. When Goff was talking about when he's going up to the field and how he has to process the play in such a short period of time. So he has to process not only his reads and everything, but he has to listen to what Ragnow is saying with his reads. And he's trying to decipher all this stuff within a couple seconds time. And it's fascinating. So I guess the key for Ratledge is going to be how fast he can pick up reading defenses and things like that. And I think that's the only thing that might hold him back. If he's slow in developing that talent, because I don't think physically he's a monster. He's ready to step in right away, but it's just a matter of him doing that role. Like Ragnow was so good at reading defense
I think it's worth noting, UJ, though, the center doesn't actually have to call the coverage if they have one of the veteran guards or something, or like they can if he's that's not his forte. But I have a feeling, though, just to add to Bob's theory, that there's something they liked about his mental game in order to make that pick if they were thinking him as a center. So I'm very curious to see I'm guessing he has a head for film. I mean, he's a Lion now, so like these guys are all like film junkies and just football breathing bad mofo. So I would be surprised if he can't handle it, but there's other ways around that if he's handling the physical side, because I think it's worth noting snapping the ball between your legs and blocking is not necessarily the easiest thing. Like it's a coordinated movement that if you're not used to doing can be difficult for people. So yeah. I mean, if that alone could disqualify him. I mean, I was in the center competition once. That's what happened to me. I just struggled to, you think you did a good snap, but you slid the ball to their feet. So,
yeah, I can tell you a story about that. When I was in high school, they moved me up to varsity, right, for the prep bowl in Chicago, right, at the Soldiers Field. So, but I was only second string. They just moved me up, And so they had me in practice giving snaps to the quarterback. I never snapped a ball in my life, like, what the hell? So this guy, my quarterback, is our center, puts his hands down, and I just shot the ball through. I hit him right in the nuts, and he went down. He went down. Down goes Frazier, and he's holding his crotch like. Everyone's looking at him. Sorry, man, I didn't know. I just threw the ball back there. So yeah, there is difficulty in learning the snap.
See, that's why the concept of skill player is a misnomer against O linemen sometimes. There's skill there, man.
True story.
Well, Hank Fraley, he says competition brings out the best of a
Frank
unit.
Haley?
It will weed out the weak too. Yes. The guys that just can't keep up. Talking with all our guys this year, there's a lot of opportunity to compete.
Yeah.
Hank Fraley, one of the best in the biz.
And the youth and talent, though, like the only thing they're really missing right now, and that's what's so exciting, the youth and talent, the only thing they're missing is experience. And they're going to get it real fast. So look out.
True.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's well, they got the guys on the outside at least to get
do you guys
help
think,
along the way, too.
Yeah.
Do you guys think Christian Mahogany this year will play at a high level, consistent level all year? Do you think he's like ready to make that step?
He gave me that sense at the end of last year. So
yeah, because that's where he finished up. I could see him like that could be the default.
Yeah, I think we'll see some missteps in pass pro, but I think his run blocking will be pretty solid.
Well, to me, though, Z,
he still needs to win it.
If you're going
to
fault one side or the other, pass blocking or run blocking, if our run blocking is stellar and we're just killing it in the run game and occasionally miss it, I'd rather occasionally miss some blocks in the pass game and just dominate in the run game, as opposed to vice versa. You know what I'm saying?
And UJ,
if we can dominate the run game, we're gonna be unbelievable. I know that's not good for Jared Goff, However, if we dominate in the run game, it'll really help our pass game, especially the play action pass. So,
well, yeah.
Yeah. That's all. That was
my point. I agree with you. Because it makes it harder to get failed pass blocks when you're good at running, because it's hard for them to, you know, commit to the pass and stuff. They always got to be scared of the run.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Dan Campbell definitely agrees with that. I think that's a resource allocation has suggested that the way we use Penei Sewell. Like, I think 100%. But I think we're not going to have to sacrifice much in the pass protection either.
I agree.
That being said,
there will be some rookies.
I do hope Morton continues to throw the ball to Sewell, though.
That'll be interesting, Bob. See if he's as fun because you got to give that to Ben, man. He got everyone involved.
Yeah.
Skipper has a touchdown. Like, what the?
Oh, my God. That was the best.
I love Skip. Like, I think that's where, like, I could see, assuming Decker keeps being Decker, where I could see Manu getting a little bit of action this year is being another swing tackle like Skipper. Plus, he's got that, could be like a tight end. Maybe. He's a freak.
Isn't one of the most beloved plays in football is when a lineman scores a touchdown?
Absolutely.
For
sure. I remember how close you were, Jack, one time in high school, and you fumbled at a 1 yard line.
I didn't fumble and never had it.
Or catches a game winning 2-point conversion. And then it gets called back by the referees.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
But the bottom line is, I think our offensive line is still going to be pretty stalwart. It's going to be pretty damn good, even with the youth on the line. So, I mean, we're going to miss right now. But
whatever cream rises to the top of that, bin of milk or whatever, UJ is going to be Studley. There's just too much talent.
Just remember Campbell's way, too. Remember when he first came into this team, and we weren't that good. He was throwing guys, but he just expected them to perform. Like, he'd throw a rookie out there and expected them to do what a veteran was doing. He's not expecting anything less from these guys. So if he throws a guy out there, he's expecting them to perform like an all-pro, like he should.
And that's what great teams do.
Yeah.
Great teams reload their O-line all the time. Like, look at the Patriots back. Like, you never knew who half their O-line were until, it was, Super Bowl time. Now they're all famous. Because, it was, these guys just came out of nowhere. They just keep finding out who the guys who could buy into the system, who could execute in the range they needed, and they did it well. And that's what the Lions will do. Plus, you have Sewell and Decker to keep that culture intact. Graham's still around.
Yeah.
I expect nothing but an excellent O-line this year. Talent's too great.
I mean, you got to trust the coaching staff. You got to trust the culture in general. But at the end of the day, you gotta have some of these guys work out, because when you're paying all your elite players, you gotta have some of these guys with rookie contracts step up. So,
true,
absolutely.
In the NFL,
that's what good teams do. I mean, you always see rookies doing it. So I mean, why not? I think the talent is there. So
100,
absolutely. I mean, really quick, I just want to say, Gibbs, you mentioned him moving out to the outside, but do you think we see an uptick in his carries this year compared to the prior years?
Wee bit.
Yes, a wee bit.
I want to see more. I love
him. Yeah, no, absolutely.
I kind of liked when Montgomery was hurt a little last year and Gibbs got more carries. I know it's probably not good for his long-term health or career.
Well, there's a balance there, Z. You're right.
I don't know. If you give him the ball like Derrick Henry gets the ball or something, man, I don't know. I feel
you don't need to.
He's the leading rusher in the NFL.
Well, you know what?
Think about Monty's role. He got him to the postseason healthy. Like, you need to suck up those runs.
You do.
Monty. Because Gibbs did win the number one spot, though, in my opinion, down the stretch last year.
Absolutely.
He's the
guy. No doubt. There's no doubt.
There's no doubt now, and Monty should be fine with that, but Monty's going to eat, because Monty's a stud in his own right, and we don't need Gibbs to eat up all those carries to win the preseason or regular season.
Right, and we have so many weapons. If Gibbs was on a bad team, he'd be getting 30, 40 carries a game because he's their only weapon. But we have so many weapons.
He'd be CJ2K.
And why burn the kid out? Yeah, I'd love to see him run every play because he is so dynamic and so much.
So good.
Man. Yeah, we don't want to lose him. We don't want to have him dead in the league 2 years from now. I'd like to see him around for a while,
That is not to say I think he's going to get 1,000 yards on the ground regardless. Like, I think he's going to get plenty.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's only going to be incremental shift of his carries versus Monty's. And it might not even be that much. Like, it might be similar to last year because they really did kind of just, like, split them in half and do drives last year, like UJ was saying earlier. So, I mean, I think it's great. The whole reason for Monty is to get Gibbs to the postseason healthy and then, you know, hopefully himself too, and then he can – but, like, Gibbs is the weapon. Like,
well, yeah. 250 carries for Gibbs last year, 1,400 yards. Montgomery in three less games, 185 carries and 775 yards.
Incredible. He was on track for 1,000 himself. Oh, man.
28 touchdowns rushing between the two of them.
I'll never forget that one play, and I don't remember who it was against, but Gibbs broke a long one, and Laporta's running behind him blocking it. He goes, man, that guy's so fast. It's just like he couldn't believe how fast he was, and he just kept saying it.
Oh, yeah.
Man, he's fat. Holy cow, he's fat.
That was his longest touchdown run.
That was against the Titans, I think, when he had that great shot when he's running toward the end zone. There's like five guys chasing him from behind, and he's just like, the guy's so
It was
fun
such
to
a
watch.
Perfectly blocked play with the perfect player to run it. Like that seam.
Yep.
It was like, I think that's like when you see the diagram drawn up and you see the arrow where he's supposed to run was just a lane with his speed to just shoot straight through and torch everybody for the end zone. He's so damn good.
Yeah.
Oh, man. With his offense, there's no way. The players are too talented. Even if the O-line is less than stellar this year, Gibbs and Amon-Ra and J-Mo and Goff, they're going to find ways. Laporta, Sewell, we're going to be too good.
So, Z, let me ask you a question here. This rookies report tomorrow. What rookie are you most excited to see?
I mean, I'm excited to see our first round pick.
Malik, baby.
Yeah.
He wasn't on my radar going to the draft, so and obviously I've watched some highlights and things of that nature. But I'm really excited to see what he can do. So I don't know.
Me too.
I want to, especially in the pass rush. I want to hear that he's winning some pass rush reps against some of these guys.
Yeah.
I'm most excited about our highest picked player.
Well, theoretically, they kind of held him back in college a little bit because they wanted more tailored toward the run.
Barrier
they
control.
Kind of held him back as far as rushing the quarterback. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they turn him loose up that middle. Because if we get that middle rush going,
we will.
With Hutch on the outside, good Lord.
The Lions' run defense is going to be elite, though, I think.
Yes.
I think it's going to be a top five unit against the run.
Easy.
Assuming everybody stays relatively healthy throughout the year.
That's we're just going to assume health.
No one's going to run against this team. Nobody.
I mean, but like we could even afford to like lose a few people. I still think we're going to be elite. Like, we have so much. I was talking to you, Jay, earlier. We have like 12 names on that defensive line where if one of them gets cut, it's going to hurt. So we're going to have some like kind of painful cuts this year. There's just so much talent in that room. I don't know. I know like if Davenport is sort of like that, like floaty fairy dust, if he can stay healthy, like we have elite edges. But like even without him, there's just a ton of freaky, strong, fast, explosive dudes. Like, can they all rush as well as him? No, but you got Hutch. Like, we just got so much talent.
What if everything you've been taught about happiness is wrong? We chase careers, approval, more stuff, hoping it'll finally make us feel fulfilled, but it never sticks. What if happiness isn't out there, but already inside you, just waiting to be unlocked? Discover the book, The Happiness Experiment. Every person has a unique happiness type, and when you understand yours, everything shifts. You'll stop chasing and start creating joy on your own terms. Discover your happiness type with a free happiness type assessment. Go to myhappinesstype.com. That's myhappinesstype.com. It takes just a minute and it might change your life. Then grab your copy of The Happiness Experiment at Books A Million. This isn't just a book, it's a practical framework, a journey inward. It's a tool to help you reconnect with the happiness that's been waiting inside you all along. Pick up The Happiness Experiment and start your happiness experiment today.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust. Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
The name I almost said, UJ, was Hassanin.
Yeah.
Sure. Hey, why not?
Well, I am excited about him. I really am. He's raw. Great. Totally. Kind of like who was the guy we had? His name is
Ansah.
Yeah, Ezekiel Ansah.
Yeah, Ezekiel Ansah.
He was not that experienced, but he had the physical traits, and he turned out to be a pretty good player. I think Hassanin is going to be very similar in a way, and his attitude is incredible. But he's so freaking strong and
athletic.
He's raw. They can form this guy. They can make I mean, look out for this kid. I'm excited. I'm excited about all the rookies. He's one of the ones I'm more excited about. I'm excited about him. Yeah. But yeah, it's gonna be fun. I know Red Dog.
I'm going. Oh, go ahead, Bob. You go first.
It's good. UJ, I think the two most popular guys coming out of camp are gonna be the Egyptian there.
Yeah.
And I think the next guy I'm picking is Isaac Tesla.
I think
he's gonna be a fan favorite because he's got all the athleticism. He's a good looking kid. He's from Michigan. And he's going to make some, you know, splash plays in camp, and everybody's going to be rooting for
him. I agree. He could be the next Puka.
If he beats out Patrick and is able to take, like, a starting role this year, I think the Lions' offense is in a state of, like, completion in the terms of just, like, downright deadliness. Because, like, his upside over Patrick, I think, is substantial. I think Patrick's fine for what he is. He's a solid vet with some nice tools, and he's gritty and got that length, but like this kid's got like some like pep in his step. He can take the top off of defense, and if you get him with J-Mo and Amon-Ra, this defense, that's it.
The speed,
we're complete.
It's not just the speed. People realize how big this kid is. He's what, 6'4"?
6'4".
6'2", 10 or something like that. I mean, he's got that size, that kind of guy we haven't had in a while. So
what they've been searching for, Josh Reynolds, that's Tim Patrick. They've been looking for this part of their defense or their offense, and they've been settling for solid vets instead of guys who are a little more, you know, dynamic and with a little more upside. And now they found that guy potentially. And gosh. I mean, he's got to prove himself, but like if he went Puka mode, that would be ridiculous. This offense, that would be so unstoppable.
It would be like the Matrix. Like I think I mentioned that in one of the pods where they're just like slow motion. The bullets are flying.
Yeah.
By, and like just doing whatever they want.
I know.
Seriously.
Exactly. It'd be like, that would be like Jameer, you get 1,000 yards. Montgomery, you get 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
J-Mo, you get 1,000 yards. Everyone's getting 1,000.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Tesla's 3 inches taller than Puka and 8 pounds.
Yeah. He's got upside, man. Same.
Yeah, he's 3 inches taller than Puka.
Yeah,
3 inches. Yep,
he's bigger.
Wow, holy cow! I didn't realize
Puka just plays big.
He does play big.
He looks big too, kind of on the field.
He's a big dude. Kind of like a Anquan Boldin.
That was my comparison too. Boldin, who has played way bigger than
Boldin.
He played way bigger than he was. Just a really dynamic receiver. But
Amon-Ra is kind of like that too. He plays way bigger than
much more agile.
He's such a beast. Oh my God, he's so fleet footed.
I had this argument with Rud Dog all the time. I say Amon-Ra is Golden Tate 2.0. Like they are so much similar in their way they move, like water bug. Like they can change direction like on a dime. It's so freaky how fast they can change direction.
Well, definitely better hands than Golden Tate.
Yes, better hands, not bigger.
I say it's like
better.
I don't like the comparison.
Yes,
2.0. I think
Golden Tate
level.
Was a little thicker. I guess
you're
I
right.
Said the same thing, Z.
You're not wrong.
He's 5'10", like 204, and or something like 203, and Amon-Ra's listed at 6 foot, 190, like 6.
But if you watch the way they run and the way they change directions, it's so fast. I mean, like, I just think they're very similar, and Amon-Ra's better. That's why I say 2.0.
Well, they played a similar spot.
I say more like 3 or 4.0. I think,
okay, fine.
Tate was a really fun, exciting, explosive player in his time. I think Amon-Ra is trending towards one of the greatest of all time.
He is trending toward that.
So, like, I think he's just several levels. As a craft of playing receiver, I think he supersedes by significant margins what Tate was. But Tate was awesome. I loved watching him.
Yeah,
but I'll be really interested to see if Tesla kind of lives up. I mean, the Lions gave a lot of draft capital for him.
They did.
Okay, well, since Bob stole my guy, I'm going to go with another one. Dominic Lovett. I think this kid might have something special. No, but like, I just from those clips from camp or from OTAs where he was getting open, he was making catches. I think he's got tools. He's real quick. I think he's like a little bit like bigger version of a Leaf. I think he could be the heir apparent for that position of the more gadgety player. But I think if this kid has the knack, like I just have a feeling he does, like he's got the tools to become successful very quickly in the NFL. I'm curious to see how he holds up in camp against all the big dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a tough one because I can see him doing the Leaf role for sure. I just don't know if he'll beat him out in
not this year.
You know, I think he's a practice squad guy, and hopefully he can be safe.
I disagree.
I don't know. I think
people see Lovett as like a potential Raymond replacement.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what we're saying. Yeah, Leaf. When we said Leaf, but that's
but
why
like, I think we're going to swing a little bit towards roster things from last year, like where we only kept four total receivers to start the season. I think we're going to keep more like six and add the two rookies are definitely make. I think he has a knack. I think he's going to make this roster along with Tesla because Leaf's not getting any younger. He did finish the season injured and Tim Patrick, just same thing. I don't necessarily think they beat out either of the vets right away, but I think they could make little snippets into play designs and stuff.
How many guys
stretch
can you keep on a roster just because they're good at special teams? I mean, how many?
They're not. I mean, they're receivers
there
who are good at special teams.
Right. I mean, the Lions at the end of the day are going to have some tough cuts.
Yes,
that's just what happens when you have a good roster.
Both guys though do convert to special teams. Like Lovett's got returning potential, and Gunner. And freaking Tesla is like a linebacker at receiver who could definitely do coverage and stuff. So, I mean, both guys, I think, will carve out on special teams at the least and then work their way into fighting off the vets for the offensive roles.
You forgot about our seventh year practice squad player.
Kennedy?
I haven't forgot about Kennedy.
I mean,
never forget
I love
Tom Kennedy.
TK, but he's going to be a practice squad depth again. Like, what can I say? I don't know. It's like
someday. TK is going to be in the Ring of Honor with the Lions. I'm telling you, like when around the stadium, when they put the names up there, he's going to be one because he is that gritty guy that just never goes away. You can't get rid of the guy. He's just that guy. I love that guy.
Hey, with new practice squad rules, it's becoming like an extension of the team truly now.
You're going to have career practice squad guys now in the NFL. They're going to make their whole careers out of it.
You know Kennedy's going to be on there all year, and then like week 16, he'll be on the roster and like score a touchdown. And,
yeah.
Like,
yeah, or throw a halfback pass to a receiver. He'll do something crazy. Like, and he always does it good. Yeah. He always performs. Whenever he gets the chance, he does. They throw him a ball, he catches it.
He needs...
it's incredible.
He needs to hang around through like a couple more phases of like Lions ascension where like we can't afford to pay all these star receivers and we just need that one like gadgety guy like an Edelman to build your offense around.
I don't know. But I just love I'm the just, guy.
If you're looking
we just
for
have too
a,
much talent.
If you're looking for a guy that might make the practice squad for the Lions, at wide receiver. Besides, like, maybe someone named Jacoby Keeney-James.
Is that number 80 at the camp in the videos at this, or OTAs, I mean? I think he was 80. He was making catches, though.
He just the highest paid undrafted free agent that we had. Okay. For $250,000 guaranteed.
A lot of money.
And he 4.37 40 speed, 9.58 relative athletic score. God. So there's what some upside there if he can, you know, hone in some of his skills.
They had a few interesting looking speed. Was it Mims? There's something like Mims or something too, is one of these guys out here, I think, who looks promising. There's a few receivers who you only get glimpses of in the OTAs, but guys they undrafted and stuff. There's some
Meeks
intriguing talent. Yeah, or Meeks, maybe it was Meeks. But there's some intriguing looking guys trying out.
Yeah.
But we have so much talent. It's not going to matter on the front end.
For those guys, what can you do on special teams for us if you want to make the practice squad?
Yeah.
Or just get through the preseason and try to put on a little show for the fans and maybe another team watching.
It's kind of funny how that trickle down effect of special teams, though. You got these great athletes that you want to put on teams. They do special teams just to stay on the roster, and these are like borderline like phenomenal athletes, or they are all phenomenal athletes. So it trickles down to your special teams, and now your special teams are great because you got these freaking great athletes, and Bip's got to be just loving everything because he's going to have a lot of talent on those special teams. So good.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And I mean, this is the team to be on special teams because you know they take it deadly serious. And FIP is just, you know, like we have three coordinators. Like everyone may only care about the offense and the defense, but Dan Campbell, you know, FIP is a big part of why this team succeeds.
Did you guys see that video with FIP where he went up at the Blue Angels?
I heard about it. I didn't see it. No, I didn't see it.
Yeah,
yes, I saw that. It was like a
go on the Lions website. It's on there. Okay. It's cool. They take him up. His dad was a pilot and stuff, so it was like cool for him. And
he's he's licensed to fly.
He's a licensed pilot too. And he went up and they did all the roles and everything, and they take you through it with them. Cool. It's really cool.
Bip is one of my favorite dudes in that whole coaching staff.
Dude, I love him so much.
I love watching that guy talk or listening. He's so great.
Yeah,
I do. I do want to note special teams might have a little more importance this year than it did even last year with the new kickoff rule because they now a touchback is at the 35-yard line instead of the 30-yard line. So you're
good.
Halfway That's down good. The field. So they're trying to encourage more kickoffs by increasing the
good.
Five they're still going to do that goofy more lineup though, right? Where they kick in the
yeah, it's still that it's still the unique kickoff. It's just where the touchback is now. It's 5 yards for.
I just miss the old kickoff rule.
I do too. I miss the old kickoffs. I really do. Yeah. The new ones suck.
Yeah, you're not going to get Zach. Who is it? Zach Follett.
Oh, Zach Follett.
No. Committing murder on a football field against the Rams.
That was the single hardest hit I've probably ever seen in my life.
It's out there, man.
It's remarkable.
It was gnarly.
The way he came down the field and he was shielded, so he was screened off. And the kid didn't even see him coming, and he just blasted him. Oh my god,
man! He was so good at turning brains to jelly. Unfortunately, that included his own. That guy could have been so good if he didn't. He was just too violent. Like there's a thing, I guess, is too violent for football.
And he was like a social media phenomenon before there was really a social media thing going. Because remember, he was on a. What was
he
on?
Like preaching or something?
I followed him too on something, but he was always.
He started like a religious, like preaching
I don't know,
forum or something.
He was funny though.
He was great though.
Goofy.
He was just so exciting. I was like watching his highlight reels when we drafted him. He was just so nasty. He just had that ability to line people up and just uncork on them. Oh. Yeah.
All right, we got time for one more.
Okay.
One more battle that, or I guess position group. What's the final one that we want?
Can I pick it?
Go. Yeah.
Or did you?
It seems obvious.
Bobby, pick it.
A safe safety.
Ooh.
What, safeties. For backups?
Is that what Z was thinking?
Yeah. No. I was just thinking. I just wanted to talk about how they brought in Avonte Maddox, you know, to be the number three safety, and how you thought that was going to be.
Oh, is that what they're saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
I like that.
I mean, there'll be competition after that, but the top three are pretty set.
Ah.
But I think it's going to be a nice group, man. They're going to be.
It's going to be.
We just talk secondary in general.
This kid they drafted from Georgia, I think.
We can loosely talk about it.
Ooh, Walker. Dan Jackson.
Dan Jackson. Yeah. I like this kid.
I forgot about him.
And he's a hitter, man. This kid is he loves to just hit.
Seventh round draft pick, Dan Jackson from Georgia.
He's a special teams ace waiting. So he'll be able to make his hay there. And then I like his instincts, and he has that deceptive speed and instincts to be in the right place. At least that's what he makes in college.
I do too.
And he's
all our draft picks will.
He's one of those football player guys. Loves football. That's like his
and
life,
a late bloomer too. You know, he didn't start till last year or senior year, I think.
Do you think there's a perfect place to develop safety a little bit?
Ooh,
anything outside for good.
I think he'll mess around with it. Maybe
outside nickel. Maybe I don't see him at safety personally. At this time.
I think they see him as bookends eventually, personally. I think Reed is a placeholder, just like our guy last year. I think there's going to be battles, so we'll see. But I think they see Rakestraw as an opposite of Tarion for years to come, potentially.
I mean, definitely need depth.
Yeah.
He's got to be healthy, but he has the skill set for outside. So
I think he's got the skill to be a starter. I mean, because he started with injuries, so he got kind of a slow start to his career. But he's been working his ass off in the offseason.
I'm excited about him.
He's planning on being a top starter in the league, so I think he'll make it.
And Arnold's going to be an All-Pro this year.
All-Pro?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I could see that.
I could see Pro Bowl. All-Pro, I mean, I love it. I think he's got the potential. I think he totally has
the potential. Kid has it.
Everyone's sleeping on him, too. Actually, it's weird. They're aware of him, but in this silly, nonsensical, negative perception that he somehow struggled last year because he had a bit of penalties to start the season.
He improved.
His pass interference penalties were just tough plays where he was a little slightly too aggressive in tight coverage. He was sticky. He was aggressive. He was all over the place. I mean, he was very good as a rookie.
I mean, the Lions led the league in those penalties, so I think it's also the way they coach up those guys.
We asked a shit ton of man coverage out of them.
You're right about that.
If we asked them to do less man coverage, that might change things.
Z, what was your position group you were going to say that before I brought safeties?
No, I couldn't pick, you know.
I thought you had something in mind. Okay, go.
Ooh. Backup quarterback.
Well, that was another one. I didn't know if it did, but yes, it's basically this Hendon Hooker actually going to be like someone that the Lions can rely on in a playoff.
He's a great mystery because they just won't talk about him. Like, has he progressed? Has he not progressed? They just don't say anything about him. There's nothing. There's no hint of what they think.
And yet he's still like on the roster. And
Camp will tell. This is year three. This is his year to prove something.
I want to throw out an idea, though. There's a kid. His name is... Bryce Perkins, who played in the UFL for that Michigan team. And this kid is dynamic. I say bring him into camp and just let him compete with the guys. He's like 6'2 or 6'3, 215. He's one of those great running type quarterbacks who, you know, all the tools you can run, you can pass. But if you've seen this guy play, and I watched a couple of his games actually, and he was really good in that UFL league. I would just like throw him in the camp for the competition and see what he can do. I would love to see that personally. Because the Hooker thing, I don't know what's going on. Someone tell me. They never give you a clue.
I mean, he's clearly not grasping something on the offense.
Well, here's the thing.
Anything off the field.
He came out of one of them wonky college offenses. He's already old. He was injured. He was developmental. I think. The fact that we carried him primarily as a backup through last season says something. The fact that we brought in Teddy Bridgewater for the playoffs and used him instead says something. But that being said, it's year three. Like, he's got another whole offseason to digest and progress. Like, he should be showing up to camp with a bit of understanding and show some progress. Like, this is the year. Like, yeah, it's make or break for him.
I have a theory about why they don't talk about it. Because usually when somebody does something with the hooker, they keep it quiet.
Oh,
you know,
you don't.
So.
You know?
Oh.
Wow. It was so obvious. I didn't think of that. Damn it.
That's just a theory. God. I don't know.
You are right. Oh. Man.
I once had a hooker row me out to the river.
Oh, my God. That was a good one. That was a good one.
Wow. Well, if Perkins did come to the Lions, the last Michigan Panthers player to come to the Lions worked out pretty well.
That's right. So. He sure did.
Yeah,
sure
that's did. True.
That was your guy,
Jake
Z.
Bates.
Your guy.
Jake Bates.
Jake Bates. He's opening up a string of hotels.
Like, before last year, he was
who?
Bricklayer.
Who is, since we're talking about backup quarterbacks, who is the competition for Hooker in camp right now? I know we signed a guy. And we probably have a few others.
It's Kyle Allen who's kind of floating around the NFL a little bit.
Right.
Career backup type.
But, you know, God forbid golf goes down. I'd like to see a competent person back there who can do something.
Well, yeah.
So, that's going to be a very interesting battle. And I would just love to see him bring that kid in. If you've seen him play, watch some of the film. He's a pretty dynamic player. So. I know.
I mean, what are the odds? You just randomly saw this guy play and, like, are saying this. Are the Lions?
I don't watch much UFL ball, but I had just happened to watch a couple of the games this kid played in.
Hey, UJ, start the rumor now. Start the rumor now. Lions interested in signing Perkins?
Well, I'm not the only one who said it. I read it.
That's our podcast title, Z, right there. Lions interested in signing Perkins?
I wouldn't put it beyond them to do so.
I'm just saying, let's start the information wheel spin and get them on the radar of Dan and the guys. You know, maybe we got it back.
I would bet a lot of money that they've already know this guy is there and they know a lot about him.
Kyle Allen has 19 career NFL starts, so he does have some experience.
Yeah, right? He's got a huge edge up on Hooker outside of talent. So Hooker really has to show something this year. Like, I think it's his like, that guy's a threat to him. Like, he has to know it. I bet the Lions have made it clear to him. Dan's mentioned him explicitly in comments. He has to know his time is coming. Like, he has to step up or bye. But I think the fact that he hung around all last season as the backup quarterback does say something, that he's not a complete lost cause yet. I think he's going to show up to camp ready to go. He's got the character. I think he's put in the work. So I'd be surprised if he just fades without putting up a fight this year, at least.
Hey, guys, can I bring up one
thing
about this rookie class?
Yeah, last thing.
I want to workshop this with you guys. Hasanin, you know, like, UJ and I think he'll make the team and be really good.
Yeah,
but he needs a nickname. We call him the Egyptian. Yeah. Should we get that going? Or Connor said we should call him the Egyptian King, which Mo Salah uses in the Premier League. But
the Egyptian,
I feel like you got to earn that a little bit.
Let's call him the Egyptian for now. Egyptian King.
But let's call him
the Pharaoh. That's okay.
I think. Well, let's get the Egyptian though. We'll settle on that. Let's get it working on social media. Let's go to catch on.
We got Amon Ra. Let's get like Anubis or something going. You know,
we got the Sun guy. We got the Egyptian. Got the Irish.
Yeah.
Done good.
I like where your head's at though, Bob.
I'm with you, Bob.
Yeah.
Maybe some workshop.
All right. Well, I think we're gonna wrap it up here. I mean, we could go on for 5 hours probably about the training camp battles.
Yeah.
I know we didn't get to every position, like linebackers. And,
hey, I just want to say we should do a pod though where we predict the roster before the roster is picked.
We do that every year.
Yes. Well,
but I like the thought, UJ.
I'm getting old, so I forget things.
Business meetings in the middle of a podcast.
Hey, we should do a podcast about the Lions.
We should do predictions this year.
Great idea. Oh, my God. making fun of old people.
Okay, so we'll wrap it up. But obviously, we had some you know, some things you can't see on the pod, obviously visually. But if you want to add that,
we got
to your enjoyment of listening to this podcast, why not? Four handsome fellas, but
YouTube at have a pod after dark, like an adult pod that saw all the stuff we can't say.
Sure, you can do, you can listen to more Bob's Hooker jokes on that one.
Well, you know, at last game of the season, he was standing out on the corner waiting for a cab. He got arrested. Just a hooker standing on the corner.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Well, YouTube at DTBK _ Lions, or just type in drinking the blue Kool-Aid.
Yeah, if you play this on the on your iPad for your baby instead of Bluey, it's great.
Yeah,
puts them right to sleep.
Yeah, other stuff will indoctrinate your children. We'll set them straight.
That's right.
Well, subscribe to the YouTube channel despite all this, anyways.
Because of it. That's what you're talking because about. Of it.
Apple, Spotify, where you get podcasts. Please download. Please subscribe. Please leave a review. Greatly appreciate that. We would we want to, of course, thank our producer,
Kid Jay.
Woo! We're crushing it every single week on the podcast. Greatly appreciate him.
He's the best around.
Now we're really going to wrap it up. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Oh, we really appreciate
you.
You
are our best fans if you're still here.
Last but not least, last but not least, as always,
go!
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go!
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.